Kids are gone. We can talk about them now. Actually. This is the third portion, actually, of, and the final portion of Five Steps to Prayer that we're going through. Actually, I say this is the third portion. Maybe it's really the fourth portion, because 3 weeks ago I spoke about Pray Always, which was kind of an introduction to the five steps of prayer. And I believe that these five steps are things you can do in your prayer life to help to organize your prayers and to energize your prayers. And we remember this, the five steps were these: praise, confession, repentance, petition, request, worship, thanks, and listening. So far, we've seen where the first three of these steps in themselves are good, and together they're powerful. But I believe that when they're combined with these final two steps of today, they'll be even more so, even more powerful for you. Now, of course, as I've said before, we have to keep in mind that no one step is better than the other. You know, this is the one I want to concentrate on, so I'm going to put extra force into this one. Or, you know, I don't believe in that one. They're all equal, and they all should have their place in prayers. So we've gone through the first three steps, which was praising Him, confession, repentance, and making our request or ask. So this week we'll go through those final two steps. But let me do a really quick recap of where we are, because we started with praising Adonai and how it should be always thing. It's not just a, we come on Shabbat, we praise Him. It's an always thing. We're always praising Him in everything that we do, not just on Shabbat. Words and scriptures encourage us to always do it. And there are words that equate to praising Adonai that we find in Scripture, right? It says, bless Him, exalt, glorify, magnify, thanking Him. The point of it all is to call attention to His glory. We saw that we're not requested to praise Adonai. It's not an ask from Adonai. We're actually commanded to praise Him. And in fact, if we don't praise Him, the stones will rise up and take our place to praise Him. And who wants a rock taking our place? Then for the second step was confession and repentance. And I said these two things, you know, they might be broken out separately, but they're really two sides of the same coin. So I combine them into one thing. By confessing, we're agreeing with Adonai what sin is. And by repenting, we're changing what we do so that we'll be more like Him. And it takes both of these subsets of these of this step. Because if we were to confess what we do so that we're released from the shackle of the sin, but we don't repent and change our actions, we're just going to be shackled again. There's no freedom, because we know the problem is the flesh wants what the flesh wants. So we're constantly fighting that fight. We're constantly doing it, but as long as we're constantly doing it, that's okay. It's when you give up, that's the problem. Or when you try to hide the sin, that's a problem. Then we spent the whole Shabbat on the third step, which was requesting or asking. And even when we're in a, especially when we're in a hurry, that step could be the whole prayer, right? We're walking into a boss's office, oh Lord, please let this go well. Just that quickly, that's all it can be. But even when you rush a prayer like that, even when you're making that kind of ask, and the ask is the whole thing, there's still some things that need to be followed. That prayer still needs to line up with Him. That prayer has to be aligned with Adonai's will, because if Adonai's will is over here, but your ask is way over here, guess what? Nothing's going to happen. He's not going to change who he is to answer a prayer way out here. But when you are praying and we're aligned, there's nothing that can stop that prayer. That prayer has power and he will do it. And we also have to remember that even though Yeshua said in John 14, if you ask me anything in my name, it will be done for you, does not mean that you control them just by putting a tagline on it that says, and in Yeshua's name we pray. There's no magic to that. That's not going to work. If we are truly aligned with Adonai, though, then we're not going to ask for anything that's way out here. Our mind should be aligned as well, then, so we know that we have it. But how do we get that alignment? By relationship with him. Relationship allows us to ask of him, and he's going to act because we're asking of what he wants. Now, obviously, there was more on these steps that I went through the last 2 weeks. So I'm encouraging you that if you haven't heard those last 2 weeks or even the last 3 weeks, you go back and listen to them, but that doesn't mean you won't get something out of today's message as well. So we're going to go into the fourth step now. And that fourth step was worshiping him. The fourth out of 5 steps, worship. Now, many ask the question, what's the difference between praise and worship? You know, we especially with music, you know, we say we're going to go into a time of praise and worship, and everyone asks, which song was the praise and which one was the worship? You know, it's a question that's worthy of being asked, but here's the answer for you. Because we can look in Psalm 95 for some clarity to that question. Here he invites us first to praise him with instructions, and then to worship him again with instructions. Oh, I'm a little behind here. Fell asleep there. All right. There we go. Psalm 95, verse 1, starting there. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to Adonai. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with songs. For Adonai is a great God and a great king above all gods. Little g gods, notice. He's the great king above all gods. We're invited to praise Adonai by coming to him with shouts of joy, right? It's one of the songs we sing, shouts of joy and victory, right? It's almost a party atmosphere. We come to him, we praise, and we're partying before him, we're dancing before him. You know, it may not always be a party. It can be, but it should be definitely with joy in our hearts. Then we go down a few verses to hear the invitation to worship. Psalm 95, 6, starting there. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Adonai our Maker, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock of his herd, of his hand. Now for worship, we go from party time to bowing down and kneeling before him. Now it's not to say these are the only positions physically to take when we worship him, but they do indicate the posture of our spirit when we worship him. When it comes to music, any music can be praise music, and any music can be worship music. Yeah, it's easier to worship to a slow song, absolutely, but it doesn't mean that only slow songs are worship music and fast songs are praise. It all depends on something else, actually. It all depends on what's going on in your heart. This is why, you know, let's see. That's why you can't really listen to a song and say, oh, this is a praise song. Oh, this is a worship song. So it's depending upon what's going on inside. The reality is that anyone or anything can be praised with the words of your mouth. But only Adonai should be worshipped from your heart. It's the humbling of self that lifts only Him above all else. This is why I say praise comes from the mouth, but worship comes from the heart and spirit. It's the worship that truly should bring glory to His name, which we're told in Psalm 96, starting in verse 7. Ascribe to Adonai, O families of peoples. Ascribe to Adonai glory and strength. Ascribe to Adonai the glory of His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Bow down to Adonai in holy splendor. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, Adonai reigns. The world is firmly established. It will not move. The world trembles, and we should tremble before Adonai as well. More than just offering praise, worship is lowering yourself because He is worthy of being lifted high. We lift Him high by our humbleness, not with any strength that we have. We lift them by bowing down to Him. We can praise someone without lowering ourselves, right? Hey, you did a great job there. But that doesn't mean that you didn't do a great job as well. But worshiping is saying only He deserves the worship. When I think about raising Him up, there's really no way of lifting up a God who's already the highest of high. You know, I think of it this way as an example. When I'm writing and I'm at my desk and I want my keyboard to be a little bit higher, I can't pick up the desk. So I have to lower my seat. And now the keyboard seems to be higher, but it's not. It's still at the same level. We really cannot do anything that actually changes Adonai's position in the universe. But we can change the place where we are and humble ourselves before Him to make it that He's higher than we are. It's more about perspective. So it just seems that He's higher by placing ourselves in the right place, humbly before Him, bowing down before Him. The funny thing about Adonai, the lower and more humble you are, the more He'll reach down to where you are. When we try to raise ourselves up, He is less likely to reach us, but more likely to have His hand pass by us to reach down to someone in a more humble position. We see this kind of positioning of people in worshiping Adonai in Scripture often, but really not often enough. Look at what people did in King Hezekiah's time of worshiping Him. 2 Chronicles 29, starting in 27. Then Hezekiah gave the order to sacrifice the burnt offering on the altar. When the burnt offering began, the song of Adonai also began with the trumpets, together with the instruments of King David of Israel. The entire congregation prostrated themselves while the singers sang and the trumpeters played. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. When the offering was beginning, the whole congregation humbled themselves and bowed. And they worshiped Adonai until the end of the burnt offering. Only Adonai could receive the offering. It was more than praise, which anyone could receive, but only Adonai could receive the offering and the worshiping that went along with it. The people lowered themselves by bowing, raising Adonai higher. The act of bowing is more than just bending at the waist or bending at the knee. It's the act of lowering yourself in humility so that Adonai is even further above you. In times past, when a king came into the room, everyone made sure their heads were below the king's head. How? By bowing down. When we bow before Adonai, it's a symbolic of keeping ourselves below him, keeping ourselves lower than he is. It's a sign of respect, and it's more of a reminder to ourselves than him. We're already so far below him. But by bowing down, it's a reminder to us how much more we should be below him. Worshiping is more than what any person or thing should be offered from anyone else. We see this in Revelation 19. When an angel gave John the words of Adonai, this is what John wrote about that interaction with the angel. Revelation 19:9. Then the angel tells me, write, how fortunate are those who have been invited to the wedding banquet of the Lamb. He also tells me, these are the true words of God. Then I fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am only a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Yeshua. Worship God, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. The angel gave John the true words of God. And God felt to bow down to him. But the angel said, no, don't do that. I'm not God. Don't do that. Only worship God. There's only one that's worthy of worship. No matter who delivers the word of God, it's still only God who deserves the worship, the respect. Worshiping is more than just looking physically like you're worshiping, though. It's the heart attitude. And Adonai is going to see that heart attitude. Anyone can lift hands. Anyone that the world looks at can look and see people, you know, lifting hands and lifting their voice, but they can't see the heart. If someone is standing there and, you know, they look good, but inside, you know, they're thinking dinner and they're thinking this and they're thinking that and they're thinking this. Adonai sees that. And what does he see? He sees a stony heart wrapped by lies. What good is that? Psalm 51:17. Starting there, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. For you would not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it, nor be pleased by burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God, or a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Again, we see the difference between praise and worship. Praise is of the mouth. Worship comes from something deeper in the person. It's the broken spirit. It's the broken, contrite heart. It's the humbleness that can only come from within and cannot really be seen by a person from the outside. You can't fake worship. You can fake praise. You can't fake worship. Raising hands or even kneeling is not worship. Your flesh may manifest these symbols of worship, but the act of trying to act, out worshiping will not be acceptable to Adonai because it's only an act. It has to be deeper. It has to be something different. It has to be more than words. It has to be more than what you look like. Again, we say, you can praise them with your lips, but you have to worship them with your heart. Remember, we have the ability to praise without worship. But I don't believe that we can worship without praise. For example, I can praise someone for a great job that they just did. Doesn't mean I worship them. In the world today, they've merged the two. They've merged praising and they've merged worship together, especially in sports, especially in entertainment. A sports star and a singer or an actor, even politicians today, they're worshiped too often as opposed to being praised for their abilities and their skills only. They're lifted to levels that they should not be. And the problem is they accept the worship instead of saying, no, 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 don't worship me. Worship the one who gave me the abilities. They accept the worship. Why do they accept the worship? Because they're drunk on the praise and the worship. Or because they just don't recognize the Creator. I believe we see this entirely too much today. We're called to worship nothing and no one but Him. Exodus 34:14. For you are to bow down to no other God, small g, no other God, beside, because Adonai is jealous for His name. He is a jealous God. Jen spoke a little bit about this in her drash. Can you imagine this? God is jealous over you. He's also zealous about you and over you. Now, jealous has a meaning from the Cambridge Dictionary as an adjective that means unhappy and angry because someone that you love seems interested in another. Are you giving your love to someone or something else that should be directed towards Adonai? That's jealous. Zealous. He's also zealous. Zechariah 8:2. Zechariah 8:2. Thus says Adonai Tzvaot, I am exceedingly zealous for Zion. I am burning with jealousy for her. Zealous is defined again by Cambridge Dictionary as filled with or inspired by intense enthusiasm or zeal, ardent fervor, fervent. Who could ask for more from a God? Adonai is jealous over us, meaning that he hates it when we chase after other gods. He's also zealous over us, meaning that he gets really excited over us. And fervently wants us to do good things for ourselves and for him. He wants what's best for us. He's zealous for us. Now, I'm not going to say which comes first, praise or worship, although I have my thoughts about it. But I will say this. If you're not in a place to worship Adonai with your heart, then start with words from your mouth. I am sure that for those of us who've dragged themselves into a Shabbat service, just didn't feel like coming on this day. I'm tired. Other things I should get done. Just don't feel like opening my mouth. But if we open our mouth, if we allow the Ruach to do something with those mustard seed that we're providing, it will catch a spark. It will turn to true praise. And that true praise will turn to worshiping Adonai. Even if you don't mean them when you say them the first time, the Spirit will catch up and catch on fire. But if your heart is already in a place of worship, your mouth should not be able to withhold praise from Him. All right. That's step four. Step four was worshiping. The final step, listening to God. Now, within Ecclesiastes 3, in what many know the words put to the song by the birds called Turn, 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 we hear the words that are there, and it says, there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. And this is also true for our prayers. And the reasons for quietness is not timidity, but humbleness before Him. It's not a fear, but the fear of missing out what He has to say. We're not to be afraid of hearing what Adonai has to say, but we should be afraid of not hearing what He has to say. It's like in our quiet times with Adonai, we are not to back away in timidity, but we're called, that we're called into, but push closer into Him, push closer with our in our humbleness that He calls us into. Listening is an important part of prayer and our relationship with Him. Exodus 19 says this about listening when He was giving instructions to Moses to give the people of Israel. Exodus 19:5. Now when if you listen closely to my voice and keep my covenant, you will be my own treasure from among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. So as for you, you will be to me a kingdom of Kohanim and a holy nation. These are the words which you are to speak to B'nai Israel. Adonai himself says, if you listen closely to his voice and keep his covenant, then you will move closer to him. When we listen to him, we'll become a holy nation, a priesthood for him. The key here is if we listen to his voice. The more we listen, the more we'll know his voice. John wrote Yeshua's words about this in John 10:27, starting there. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. There is a difference between hearing and listening. You can hear the thunder. It's a sound. But you listen to someone's voice. It's not just a noise when it's a voice. The difference of a sound is you can't make anything out of it. This could happen when Adonai speaks to you. If you don't know his voice, if you don't know his language, then it really just becomes a noise. When someone speaks Portuguese to me, I don't know it, so it just sounds like noise to me. The message, regardless of how important it is lost because I can't speak that language. Even when we're listening, we need to be careful, though. It's more important that after hearing from Adonai that you verify the message against his word. They will never contradict each other. If they're opposing each other, then the message was not from him, but either from yourself or from Satan. Both your own voice and Satan can sound the same as Adonai's in your mind, but only Adonai will always agree with Scripture. It's not to say that your voice and Satan's voice is the same. It's not what I'm saying, but they can sound the same. So we have to take care when we hear a message to figure out where it's from. This is why we don't just jump at the first word we hear, but listen and verify it by the word. Even going to a trusted brother or sister in Adonai. Now you may say, if an Adonai says something to me, shouldn't I do it without hesitation? Yes, as long as you're sure that it's him, as long as you verified it against his word. When a submarine gets a message to launch a nuclear missile, they don't go right away and push the button. What do? They verify the message. They verify what the message is, and they verify where the message came from. We need to be the same way. So we can do this by asking three questions to ourselves. Once we receive the message, the first question, is this within the nature of God? Adonai will not direct us into a way that's not his nature. We look at something and ask, is this what Yeshua would do? And if the answer is no, we got to have real concern about it. Second question, can this be backed up by Scripture or the affirmation from godly people? Anything that you're told by Adonai will never contradict his word, and the affirmations from other people will not as well. If you're getting conflicting messages, then stop, review, and wait for clarity. Third, is this something that provides peace and healing? Now, we need to be careful with this question, because sometimes Adonai will not seem like peace in our lives because we're off the path and we need upheaval to move us back onto the path. The healing could be hidden in the upheaval, but the healing will come if it passes the first two questions. We need to actually focus on the listening part of prayer to hear from Adonai. When we're alone, we need to cut out things that distract us. Now, I'll admit that at times the quiet is distracting. But we need to cut out the things that are distracting us, even if it's the quiet. I'll admit that low, quiet, instrumental music helps me to stay focused. And it can't be music with lyrics to it. Because what am I doing then? I'm thinking about the words to the music instead of his words. But they're words that magnify him. They're words that glorify him. And that's great at the right time. But if the time is to listen, they're just interfering. They're just distracting. So we have to remove the things that are distractions. Sometimes the phone is a distraction. I'm not saying to stop calling me. I need to know when the right time is to pick up the phone. You need to know what the right time is to pick up the phone. We need to find that time and that place of stillness and listen to him. Listen to Psalm 62, starting in 6. My soul, wait in stillness only for God, for from him comes my expectation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my strong tower. I will not be moved. The difference between silence and stillness that David wanted was that silence is external, stillness is internal. Being quiet in the inner recesses of our hearts means not worrying, not thinking about things that we need to do, cutting out the noise in our head as well. We can't always cut out external noises, you know, children crying or even playing outdoors next door. But we can practice on not focusing on these things, not worrying about them. And I got to say, I'm not perfect at it, but I'm getting a little bit better at it, a little bit at a time, very little bit at a time. I know I can't read while the TV is on. I also know that I can't hear from Adonai if there's an internal monologue going on. You ever hear, if the mouth is open, the ears are closed? Well, even if the mind is going, your spirit is a little closed off. You need to calm that down. Yeshua wanted the people to listen to him. So what did he say? Listen. Or he says, truly, truly, depending on the version you're reading. He gets their attention first. We also need to listen when he speaks, especially when we're trying to make time and space for him to speak. Being alone is a start, but if we're bringing other things with us, are we really alone? And for those things that do come into your mind, well, just give them over to him. Stop. Say, Lord, I know these are important, but I'm giving it over to you right now so that I can listen to you. Because I know you can handle them better than I can. And I want to hear from you now. So here are the five steps. The five steps to prayer that'll bring power to your life. Praise him. Praise him with your mouth. Confession and prayer and repentance. Tell him you know that it was a sin. And then change. And ask him for help with that change. That's what the Ruach is there for as well. Petition or ask that request. And as long as it's lined up with him and his timing, and he'll answer that for you. Worship and thanks. That inner praise is almost what it is. It's that inner worshiping him, telling him, and then stop and listen to him. If you're the one doing all the talking, how's he going to talk? You have to have that quiet time with him. For every single prayer, we may not apply all five of these things. But there are going to be things there that are going to be applied. Even if it's right down to that middle one, request, the ask, all those other things have to be right in your life still. In your quiet time, these are the things you should go through. Take a moment and praise him. Take a moment and confess and repent. Take that moment to ask and request. Then take that moment to thank him and to worship him. And then stop and listen. These are the five steps we need to take if we're going to see our prayers answered. Father, we thank you that you have given us direction on our prayers. And we thank you that you listen to our prayers. Ruach HaKodesh, help us to line up our prayers with you. Help us to know you. Help us to see you. Help us to understand. And most of all, help us to hear you, to hear your voice, to know it, to cling to it, and allow it to change us. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. And we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.